Scripture this morning is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there where no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there had asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." Thank you, Father, for your word. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, Faith Westwood. To those online, as well as those who are here in person, we begin Holy Week together. I feel so blessed to be able to spend this week with you. Now, on Ash Wednesday, we collected our very first offering for Greater Love. This is a new offering for 2024. This is going to be utilized by the Missions Committee for Greatest Needs of Existing Mission Partnerships for four additional projects that emerge. So during Lent, we've invited church family partners and friends to collect money in the Greater Love offering box. Now, these funds that have been collected, this is really important. They can be turned in this week on Monday, Thursday, or on Good Friday, or any time during business hours in the church. But here's the deal. Our counters don't want to count all those coins. And so we're asking that you would please, if you have been collecting coins, would you please turn that into dollars and or a check to be submitted to the church? And you can also use a mission envelope for that. And just a reminder that, again, this is a very important offering. This is a new offering. And so please share generously. And if you say, "I missed the memo, I didn't get one of these," there are some extra offering boxes out on the table, and so as you are on your way out, you can go ahead and pick one of those up. But we do want you to keep the boxes, because the Greater Love offering is going to be for special seasons, and we want you to have that so you can continue to collect monies in that box. Now, in this Lenten season, we've been embracing those times in the Gospels where Jesus says, "Go." We've already reflected on the stories where Jesus conquers, forgives, frees, feeds, heals, and summons. Last week, we were in Jericho. The disciples and the crowds then follow Jesus on the path to Jerusalem, along with Bartimaeus, who has a new identity and the ability to see. Today, when Jesus enters Jerusalem, Jesus instructs his disciples to go to prepare his way. When he enters the city as a humble king, the people respond with Hosanna. So how might you enter this Holy Week recognizing Jesus the King? In that spirit, would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, open our ears that we may hear your word. Open our eyes that we may see your glory in our midst. Open our hearts that we might know your Spirit's presence with us in these moments. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. To rent or to borrow a donkey in Jerusalem costs about 100 US dollars. That's right. To take a journey from the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, the cost is about $100. And then for another $50, you can receive a picture on the donkey. Now, for the record, we have the privilege of experiencing that donkey on site today for merely a donation. Now, reflecting upon our gospel passage, Reverend William Carter insists that the best things are borrowed. Of course, the young donkey in our story was borrowed, but after all, Jesus was born in a borrowed stable and laid in a borrowed manger. It makes sense that Jesus enters Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. Now, we can understand these borrowed things when we remember that Jesus had told his disciples, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." That's from Matthew 8:20. The three-year ministry of Jesus relied on borrowed places as he went town to town with his disciples. He stayed in the homes of the disciples' family members' homes and other followers. It isn't surprising to us then that Jesus was going to need to borrow the donkey as he prepared to make his triumphal entry. Yet as we begin this Holy Week journey this year, we are reminded how Jesus had each and every detail planned out. As we have experienced throughout the season of Lent, the Gospel of Mark tends to make things very clear and get to the point for us. So before we get to the borrowed donkey's purpose in the parade, perhaps we should orient ourselves geographically. Again, last week we found Jesus and the others at Jericho. Jericho is the lowest city on earth, over 800 feet below sea level. And as they traveled from Jericho to Jerusalem, it was a climb to nearly 3,000 feet above sea level. There's a reason that we sing the song, "We're Marching Upward to Zion, the Beautiful City of God." So I want you to imagine traveling from the hot, dry desert up toward Jerusalem to the very top of the Mount of Olives. There was delight and there was relief upon reaching the top. Now, Bethphage was closest to the Mount of Olives. Bethany was the home base, about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus lived. Now, remember that in this season, there were so many Jewish pilgrims who were going up to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. The inns were crowded. Scholar N.T. Wright says that this wasn't just Passover time. It is kingdom time, the time when Passover dreams, the great hope of freedom, where God's sovereign and saving presence were being revealed in quite a new way. Now, little did they know what was coming next. Jesus says to his disciples, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Jesus then tells the disciples that the colt is needed for what? For a sacred purpose. Jesus, the Lord, needs the colt. The colt fulfills the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus even gave those disciples words to say, just in case anyone would ask them why they needed the colt, anticipating that it was going to happen just like that. And after retrieving the young donkey, they placed their cloaks over it for Jesus to sit upon. Now, in the moment, the disciples themselves had to realize that this scene looked very different from what anyone would have anticipated. Yet they didn't question Jesus, at least out loud. The disciples believed that Jesus was indeed the true and rightful king of the Jews, and the parade was in his honor. Even so, most likely they were thinking, wouldn't a king ride into town on a white horse instead of a young donkey? Jesus had reminded them so many times that his leadership was unexpected. So why wouldn't Jesus enter the holy city full of humility, demonstrating his servant nature? With the crowds being in Jerusalem for their Passover gatherings, there would be singing and prayer and dancing and feasting. And now there was a parade. Imagine the murmurs that the king was coming into the city. The people were longing for the Messiah, and many people believed that Jesus was the one that they had been waiting for. While others in the crowds may have expected their king to enter with more power and authority, we know that the people borrowed branches from the fields and the trees, laid them on the path along with their cloaks. These were intentional actions to welcome a king. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us, we pray." They quoted the psalmist, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They shouted, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." These proclamations were important. We gained that sense that those present were recognizing that Jesus was the one to come in the name of the Lord. He was the Messiah. And they recognized that their salvation could only come from the prophesied Messiah. So imagine the excitement as they celebrated his entry into Jerusalem. Now, from what do the people seek salvation? Salvation from their sin, yes. Yet they were also seeking salvation from their pain, from their despair, from poverty, and from oppression. They wanted salvation spiritually, yet they also want salvation economically and politically. Truly blessed is the one who comes in the name of Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. We hear this language of their shouts about Jesus being the son of David. Last week, we remember this language used as Bartimaeus asked to have mercy on him and heal him. Now the people in the crowds are celebrating and praising Jesus as he comes into his own city. And Jesus is entering the city to claim what is rightfully his. This festal procession with cloaks and palm branches and shouts of Hosanna presents this beautiful scene, a glorious parade. Yet we remember that this entry into Jerusalem for Jesus is an entry to what leads to his suffering and his death. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, we imagine kind of a quietness with Jesus. He wasn't waving to the people, was he? He wasn't making any signals like a warrior king. He entered the holy city in silence as if to respond to their shouts, "I am Messiah and I will save, but not as you expect." His kingdom is far more than anyone could imagine. Mark truly shows us the servant nature of Christ with a quiet dignity and hidden majesty, inviting Christians of all generations to ask, how will this continue to be revealed as Jesus journeys toward the cross? As Jesus set forth on that path into Jerusalem, he had a clear understanding of the journey and his purpose. And after the hosannas and the parade that was on that borrowed donkey, verse 11 maybe needs to speak to us today. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. For the Gospel of Mark, the triumphal entry signals a sense of risk that Matthew's Gospel doesn't reveal in the same way. Certainly at this point in the story, Jesus is living on borrowed time. He's quickly approaching that space and time that he had predicted with his disciples. What comes next is Jesus cursing a fig tree, continuing to challenge those religious leaders in the temple. What comes next is Jesus demonstrating his servant nature to his disciples along with sharing a last meal. What comes next is Jesus taking time to pray and preparing for his arrest, his crucifixion, and his death. It's normal for us to have mixed emotions every time we celebrate and remember Palm Sunday. On one hand, we join those crowds with our hosannas and the waving of the palm branches and admiring that borrowed donkey. And yet on the other hand, we are left with a sense that the crowds don't fully understand this Jesus, this Messiah, this King of Kings, this King of the Jews. We know too well that later this week, some in that crowd will trade in their hosannas for the words, "Crucify him." And some in the crowds will trade in the waving of their palm branches for clenched fists. So can't we just stay in these Palm Sunday moments for just a little bit longer? One of my favorite borrowed memories comes from Palm Sunday 1999 in Wichita, Kansas. I can see it just like it was yesterday. I was youth director at First United Methodist Church in downtown Wichita. It was the church's tradition to take the confirmation students to St. Mark's United Methodist Church, an African American congregation, so that they could experience their worship. My oldest daughter, Isabel, was about 6 months old, and she went with us with her pretty little dress and her bonnet. As we entered into the sanctuary, we were all dressed up, and yet we felt very underdressed. Ladies were wearing their Sunday finest with hats and with gloves and with high heels. Gentlemen were wearing 2- and 3-piece suits. Then the pastor, Reverend Tyrone Gordon, came out, and he began to note how people looked really fine that day. And then he started to talk about the following Sunday, and he said this: next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and you know what that means. You dress in your St. Mark's t-shirts. He said, we dress down because there's only one who can be clothed in glory on Easter Sunday morning. And who is it? That's right, Jesus. And people began to shout, Jesus, and amen, and they began to clap. It certainly made our group wish that we had borrowed some fancier clothes for the occasion. But can you imagine how those beautiful United Methodist Christians celebrated the risen Christ on Easter morning? All of this reminds me that Palm Sunday matters. Holy Week matters. Jesus dying on the cross matters. Jesus being raised from the dead matters. And our salvation, it matters most of all. Yet before the glory of Easter Sunday, whether we are here in person in our Sunday best or dressed down with church t-shirts, it doesn't matter. And whether those online are wearing your best pajamas or your favorite apron because you're multitasking, you and I are going to have to remember Jesus' journey toward the cross. So this Holy Week, you need to ask yourselves, what are you seeking? Maybe you're seeking Jesus, the miracle worker, to hear your prayers and to act in big ways. Maybe you're seeking Jesus, the prophet, to remind you of God's promises for the future. Maybe you are seeking Jesus, the teacher, to remind you of important truths. Maybe you're seeking Jesus, the healer, to simply heal your body, mind, and spirit. And maybe, as you and I are seeking Jesus, the King, we will remember how Jesus enters Jerusalem and how he did so in complete humility as a servant who knew what was coming and was able to look beyond the betrayal and the mocking and the pain and suffering, only to see his sacrifice of love. I've been reading a book by Amy Jill Levine. She's a university professor of New Testament and Jewish Studies, and she wrote the book Entering the Passion of Jesus. This morning and this week, I'm going to be borrowing some of her thoughts. For today, it's important for us to ask ourselves, are we willing to go into the triumphal entry of Jesus in what Levine calls a procession of justice, of compassion, of peace, a vision of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom as God wants it to be? And when the King arrives for us, what do we really want? In our day, we want Jesus the King to be our spiritual leader, to teach us and to guide us. But if we are honest, we admit that we also want a balanced budget, affordable health care, strong military, clean water, peaceful streets, lower taxes, and good schools. Nah, we want excellent schools, don't we? But Levine asks, and I quote, as we praise a king, the son of David, we should also ask how much are we willing to contribute in order to achieve these goals? How much are we willing to take responsibility, to work, and to sacrifice? Salvation comes at a cost, doesn't it? And we need salvation from our sin. We need salvation from ourselves, and we need salvation from everything that would dare to get in the way of our relationship with the one who died on the cross so that we could have this gift of salvation. It's only Palm Sunday. It's Holy Week. And you and I can journey together. Remember that you don't personally have to rent a donkey or even borrow a donkey to get this week right. When Jesus enters Jerusalem, you and I are invited to follow this king from the parade to the basin, to the table, to the garden, to his betrayal, to his trial, to his cross, and to his death, to the tomb, and to the hope that comes on Easter morning. When Jesus says, go, people respond. Lives are transformed. So may the week that changed the world continue to transform us. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious and ever-loving God, we come before you on this Palm Sunday in this Holy Week. God, help us to avoid the temptation to go from these moments to next Sunday and the glorious celebration of Christ's resurrection. Because, God, we need to go through this week to spend some intentional moments in prayer, whether it be at the prayer and healing service tomorrow evening or throughout the week. God, we want to remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, when he shared a Last Supper with them. And even though it is hard, it is so very challenging for us to enter into that space of grief and sorrow, God, we need to go to the tomb. We got to remember the cross that came before it. And we have to go to the tomb, remembering that Jesus was laid there. And in those 3 days from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, God, we wait. We wait with bated breath at what is to come so that we can feel it again, so we can celebrate it fully, celebrating Jesus the King, who gives us the gift of salvation and the promise of everlasting life. So God, be with us in this week especially, as we praise you today and as we pray fervently. And this we pray in the name of the one who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.